Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, here again with you on this Tuesday edition. It was going to be just a full mailbag episode, but the John Lynch pre-draft press conference slash conference call snuck up on me. So we've got to get to a lot of this, a ton of rumors Monday about the 49ers. So we've got to cover all of that stuff on today's show. We'll hit some mailbag questions. Of course, we'll continue into the mailbag tomorrow with Nick Winkler on the Winky Wednesday. And then I don't really know what's in store yet for Monday or for Thursday morning before the draft. I guess I've got to drop my official big board and talk about maybe a little mock draft. I don't know what we'll talk about on Thursday morning, draft morning. But a lot of your questions here after we get through this bit. And John Lynch confirming some rumors and squashing some rumors. Interesting stuff from the general manager Monday. A quick reminder, you can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's the best place to get those mailbag questions in. You can also email the show LockedOn49ers at Gmail. You can find this podcast, like all the shows, on the Locked On Podcast Network on all of your favorite podcast apps. Where to begin? I guess we'll start with the rumors first, and then we'll get to John Lynch's response to some of those rumors. He was asked about them and was pretty forthright about where the 49ers are with trades and with their two first-round draft picks. A little bit of news. The 49ers announced that running back Jeff Wilson signed his exclusive rights free agent tender, which was something that pretty much had to happen because he can't negotiate with other teams. So Jeffrey Wilson, an exclusive rights free agent, signed his tender back with the team at a very low number. Still some rumors about Matt Breida that could be traded. There was one from Albert Breer who said that Tevin Coleman is a veteran who, quote, came across my desk as a name to watch on the trade market. Coleman due $4.8 million in salary in 2020. So maybe if the 49ers don't get a deal for Matt Breida, who's rumored to be potentially traded, maybe they'll try to trade Tevin Coleman instead. Maybe it depends on who's offering what. If anybody's offering anything at all for Breida or Coleman, I might want to keep Breida over Coleman. That's me personally. Judging by the way the 49ers season played out at the end, I think the 49ers prefer Coleman to Breida, and Breida's the most likely to move on via trade. Obviously, Jerick McKinnon restructured. He's back under contract. We'll see if he's able to show anything like what the 49ers signed him to do. And Jeff Wilson's still around. Interesting group of running backs for the 49ers. If they trade a guy, if they move a player on, I think one of those late round picks, 5th, 6th, 7th round, might be able to bring in another running back there, maybe an undrafted free agent. Adam Schefter reporting that the 49ers were fielding calls on both first round draft picks, number 31 and number 13 and 31, and are open to dealing either or both picks per league sources. After 31, the 49ers don't pick again until 156. So, yeah, we know the 49ers don't have any picks in that huge gap, and it would make sense for the 49ers to add one or two in there. I don't think they are forced to do anything, and it sounds like John Lynch feels that he's not forced to do anything, but will absolutely be listening to offers for those picks, which makes complete sense. Then former NFL GM Mike Lombardi said that from talking to teams around the league, the 49ers want to clean up some cap issues and have made Dee Ford, Quan Alexander, along with Marquise Goodwin and Jaquaski Tartt available for trade. Will they get takers? Not sure, but all four names are available on the available list for the right price. That was a tweet from Michael Lombardi. He's talked a little bit about the 49ers and some things he's hearing on his podcast as well. So how true is that stuff? Let's run those by the general manager, because those rumors came out before the conference call John Lynch had with reporters to talk about the draft and where the 49ers are. Specifically on those trades, let's start there. And Lynch said that the 49ers have had active and currently have active discussions going on about trading wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. Said they've come close a couple of times to making a deal, but that we'll see if something happens here. And we had heard, it's weird that Marquise Goodwin is so publicly being traded, because Kyle Shanahan had talked about it before. He said, we don't want to cut Marquise Goodwin. He's a good player, but we would be open to trading him. Strange. And I wonder what part of this Marquise Goodwin and his agents are. Are they pushing this? They're like, yeah, let's go. Let's get this trade going. There was some rumors that maybe the Dallas Cowboys could be interested in Marquise Goodwin, but confirmed by the GM, the Niners are shopping Marquise, have come close, but have not yet dealt the speedy wide receiver. As for those other players, Quan Alexander, Dee Ford, and Jaquaski Tartt, John Lynch said they are not shopping those players and do not have discussions ongoing about trading those guys. He said, quote, we love them and are looking forward to playing with them moving forward. So Quan Alexander, Dee Ford, Jaquaski Tartt, not on the trade block, according to general manager John Lynch. They do have Dre Greenlaw. I could understand where Quan Alexander would be something the 49ers would be interested in listening to offers about with his injury history, but they just restructured his contract. So he was somebody that they could completely lose his contract right now and go completely off the books. But now that they've restructured, they're locked in at least a little bit longer. I think I saw a report that it could happen maybe as a post-June 1st designation or this time next year. They could absolutely get away from that contract again. But right now they take a big cap hit if they traded him before the draft. So Quan Alexander, just cap-wise, definitely not going anywhere before the draft. Dee Ford, with his injury problems, he played less than 30% of the snaps last year. I think that's a problem going forward. I've always thought that defensive end was a sneaky need for the 49ers as much as a defensive tackle, potentially, because of how much Arik Armstead's going to be playing inside. And John Lynch said that Armstead is part of that, playing inside and replacing DeForest Buckner with a bunch of other players that he named on the roster. Dee Ford's not going to be around a long time, so if a team came calling, I think the 49ers would have to listen to an offer there. Then you would be up against it with a defensive end and pass rusher, maybe a little bit short, though, if you did that before this season, unless, and I saw a lot of people, they heard that report and got super excited that maybe Clowney was the fit, and they're not going to go pay Jadeveon Clowney. That's not going to happen. And Yannick Ngakoue, I'd probably prefer Ngakoue more, maybe would cost a little less, bring that juice off the edge rather than another power player at defensive end, but I don't know. I just don't see the 49ers paying Ngakoue, or, and they would have to trade something for Ngakoue along with it, or signing Clowney. I just don't see that happening. So I just think that they're hoping Dee Ford can give them third down reps this year, then maybe this time next year. Maybe if they draft and develop somebody now, or we'll look at that position in next offseason. But right now, I just can't see Dee Ford going anywhere. And Jaquaski Tartt makes the least amount of sense, unless they really have their eye on a safety with that 31st pick in the draft, because there was a huge drop off when Tartt left last season. Marcel Harris is not the guy. They're not going to sit there and say, oh, we're just going to trade Tartt because Marcel Harris is cool and we're good with rolling with that. I don't see that happening at all. You want to talk about running it back and playing well? Jaquaski Tartt is one of the most underrated players on the team and was a big part of that last year. So I can't see the 49ers moving on from Tartt unless they have a replacement ready to go at either pick 31 or some other trade. If they know for sure they're going to move on from him, he is going to be a free agent after the 2020 season, but let him walk. Let somebody sign him, get maybe a comp pick or something like that. The Tartt one doesn't make a lot of sense at all because you're just getting worse. And the 49ers, if they want to go back to the Super Bowl, shouldn't be actively trying to get worse. Okay, more from John Lynch talking about the offensive line, talking about pick 13, what they could and would and would like to happen with those first round draft picks. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And yeah, getting those beverages on top of dinner is key. And if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what you want to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. You love food? That's why you'll love Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery deliveries, convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, which is so key right now. No more late night fast food runs. You don't have to worry about where you're going to grab lunch. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. By the way, John Lynch, he's even got more screens than I saw earlier in the week when he showed his war room that is the guest house that has been converted into his own personal draft war room. He's got probably a dozen screens in that room. He's got an iPad. He's got two or three computer monitors on his desk. He's got three hardline phones. Then he's got a massive TV on the wall. Then he's got three or four other TVs. It's just, he's got a crazy setup. And he said he was trying to mimic the real 49ers war room with that setup. Sure, why not? And then I saw a photo of Dave Gettleman, New York Giants general manager. He literally has like a forest worth of trees, worth of paper in like these books and binders, just paper everywhere on his desk and just one laptop with a wired mouse. And that's his setup. So very different general managers setups there with at least those two. I've seen a few others. I think I saw Spielman in Minnesota. I saw Ballard's, and there's a little bit closer to what John Lynch is working with, which probably doesn't make you feel great if you're a New York Giants fan. Anyway, John Lynch, on trading down in the first round, he said, quote, there are scenarios at both picks where we'd be open to moving back. A couple more picks might be nice, but if you can find a foundational player at 13, that's something you have to weigh. So really, he made it seem like he thinks that, look, everything John Lynch said makes the most sense. It's very close to what I've thought that the 49ers plan should be. At 13, you're very likely to get a great player there. Hang out, see what that player is. If it's a foundational piece, as John Lynch put it, draft that player, then take offers for number 31. And that makes a lot of sense. And he said, hey, hopefully we get two foundational players and there's still one at 31. And they're not guaranteeing that they're trying to move back there. But he said there are scenarios that they could see moving back from both of those picks. On Joe Staley, there's been a lot of whispers that Joe Staley potentially could be retiring before the 2020 season. He said, quote, we've heard nothing that would lead us to believe that Joe is not going to play. On if potentially drafting an offensive tackle at 13, he said, quote, we certainly could. On Weston Richburg's injury, he had a torn patellar tendon, I think, in December. He said, quote, I think he'll be ready for training camp. That's our hope. So the plan is to have both Weston Richburg, Joe Staley, ready to go week one, starting as expected there. And then key backup, Daniel Brunskill, potentially starting right guard, Daniel Brunskill. He said, quote, I really believe he can play all five spots on that offensive line. Brunskill is a big part of the 49ers' future plans. So Daniel Brunskill, I love Daniel Brunskill in that role. Like you just said, he could play all five spots, so don't plug him in as a starter at right guard. Play all training camp at that one spot. Now where's your super sub guy if someone does get hurt? I love Brunskill in the role he was in last year. Swing tackle, he could jump in and play guard. Sounds like he could play some center as well, having practiced at all those positions in training camp. I love that. And then have a succession plan. If the right player is there that could play some right guard for a year, jump out, play tackle, either left side or right side, have McGlinchey playing either left side or right side. I think Mike McGlinchey in the past has talked about how, I mean, McGlinchey played left tackle in college, so I don't think it's something where one week you want to play right side, then jump to the left side, but a full training camp to get ready for it heading toward 2021. If Joe Staley retired after this season, yeah, I could see McGlinchey being that guy. Or maybe if they picked a player at 13, I'm sure they would expect that that player would be able to play some left tackle. So those things are all in the open. I don't know if offensive tackle is the most likely position, but I think it's in play at 13, depending on how the board falls. And luckily for the 49ers, they expect everybody to be back and healthy in Joe Staley and Weston Richburg. And then he was asked about his draft board and those players. And the reason he would not trade out of number 13 is if there's a foundational player there. And he said there were six foundational players, which I thought was pretty interesting. Six of those players. And I'm thinking about, okay, who would be the six players on the 49ers board that John Lynch deems foundational? Is he not talking quarterbacks? Is he including quarterbacks? It was pretty vague. Not knowing exactly what he meant by that and which players he's talking about, I would assume it's six players that they expect that could be there. And probably not quarterbacks he's counting there. I mean, if he's counting quarterbacks, then what are you talking about as far as what their board looks like? If he's counting just the top six players in the draft, not considering needs or position, he probably shouldn't expect to be able to get any of those guys at 13, depending on how their board looks. Judging by how I have him ranked, judging by what we look at most mock drafts, if he's counting quarterbacks, you know, does he have Tua in there? Does he have Burrow in there? That's two. Then defensive end Chase Young, cornerback Jeffrey Okuda, that's already four. Isaiah Simmons, linebacker, is five. One more player is six. And so it makes it a lot more difficult. You would have to get very lucky to get that sixth guy if you're counting everybody. If you're not counting quarterbacks, then we can kind of see how this could go. Chase Young, Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, that's three. Those guys very unlikely to be there. Then how does their list look? Is it Derrick Brown, defensive tackle? Is it Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle? Is it Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle? Is it one of the wide receivers? Is it two or three of the wide receivers and no tackles? Is it three tackles and no wide receivers? So six is an odd number for him to say. If he said that, you know, we have a top 10, we think we could get one of our top 10 guys, that would make sense. If he said, oh, there's three or four guys that we think could be there, and then if they're not, then maybe we'd consider trading down. That would make more sense because then they would be talking about maybe, you know, the guys they thought could fall. But if he just says there's six foundational players in this draft that they're looking at, that makes me feel like there's not a very good chance that one of those players will actually be there at 13. But we'll have to see how the board falls. And judging by my draft board, if we're not counting quarterbacks, just six non-quarterbacks, this is how I have them ranked in order right now. And I don't think it's going to change before Thursday. Chase Young, Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Derrick Brown, Jedrick Wills, Jerry Jeudy. That's six. There's a chance that one or two of those guys could be there. But it's so close, too, because, like, my hope is that the defensive tackles go before the 49ers, because I don't really feel like that's the best way to use your number 13 pick to draft an interior defensive lineman. And I could see the argument for, even though I have Derrick Brown a little bit ahead of Jeudy and Wills, and then the next two are CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs after that, then C.J. Henderson and Tristan Wirfs. Like, all those guys are very tight on the board. So it's hard for me to believe that John Lynch would be including Jerry Jeudy in his six, but not CeeDee Lamb, right? Or vice versa. Because those guys are so close and so tight. It would be odd that they really love Jeudy and they're like, we don't really like CeeDee Lamb at all. I can't see there being enough separation where he would not be counting either two or three wide receivers or zero wide receivers in his six players. But I don't know. It's all speculation. I have no idea how the 49ers draft board will look in comparison to how I think this thing should go down. But on that note, I have an email here. Let's get into this mailbag. This is from Mike. First of all, this is too long. This is why I prefer tweets to emails, because the emails just get so long and I can't read a whole email sometimes versus a tweet. That's just 280 characters and we can talk about a quick question. But Mike has his entire draft board. He's trying to figure out who's going to be there at 13. So it pertains to this conversation we just talked about with those six foundational pieces that John Lynch had mentioned. And he also said that he and Kyle Shanahan are challenging each other and they're going over that and trying to finalize who they feel the strongest about of those players and really fight over the last bit of that draft board and get them in that order and see how that. And so maybe it's more than six, maybe it's fewer than six when it's all said and done by the time they get ready to go on the clock Thursday. Mike says, crunching the numbers, who will be gone and who might be there at pick 13. He says he thinks these eight players will be gone. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, three quarterbacks. Then Isaiah Simmons, Jeffrey Okuda, Chase Young. Yeah, I agree there. So that's six players. Then he thinks Wirfs and Wills, the two tackles, will be off the board for sure. That's his for sure eight that will be gone. Then at pick 13, five of the seven prospects below will be picked before the Niners select. Tackle Mekhi Becton, defensive tackle Derrick Brown, the three wide receivers Jeudy, Lamb, Ruggs, offensive tackle Andrew Thomas, and defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw. Yeah, is that all 16 players? Oh, no, you didn't include. Oh, yeah, so that's 16, right? And C.J. Henderson I would include in there. So that's the top 16 players in this draft for me. So pretty much laying it out, and I pretty much agree with you there. The more I look at it, the more I think Jedrick Wills is the top tackle in this class. Then it's going to go by preference, I think, for a lot of teams. Some teams, I've read a lot recently that teams really love Andrew Thomas. I would have him third probably for the 49ers, but I can see how a team would want a player who started for 2 years straight in the SEC at left tackle, because Wirfs and Wills both played right tackle. Mekhi Becton played left tackle, but it wasn't quite in the SEC. He might not have as much movement skills for certain teams. For other teams, he might be a great fit. So it's going to be more of what style, what size, what side do you want that tackle to play on for how teams put those tackles in order and who they like first. So that's interesting. But anyways, I think that's all pretty much correct. So he's trying to figure out where you could possibly trade 14, 15, 16, or 17 to still get one of those players. And maybe even Love sneaks in there, the fourth quarterback that would help push another player down to 17 if they traded with Dallas. See, this is what's tough because we heard Lynch talking about those six picks. Sorry, I was reading this long email and trying to make it shorter and convey the message that Mike is talking about. He's trying to add a third round pick and just move back a few spots in the first round. But it makes it very difficult. So now you only have basically three teams you can talk with because I'm not getting further past 16. And then you might be missing out on a tier. Maybe you have a tier within that tier of players. So maybe you want a wide receiver and the last one's there. And if you move out the exact position that you want, but you get a player that's similarly valued, but you want the wide receiver, is it worth a third round pick to move down and end up with who you get? And you're like, okay, well, I guess we get CJ Henderson. I guess we get Javon Kinlaw. Is that worth a third rounder? I just wouldn't screw around with that pick 13. I can't see that many scenarios unless the 49ers really had this break and those six players he talked about weren't there and someone comes with a really big offer. But to move down for a third round pick, I mean, I'm just staying and I'm taking the best guy unless I really think there's no difference in the guy I'm going to get two, three, four picks later. And you start talking about four plus picks later, now it gets even more difficult because you're talking about a big steep tier drop to me. And I don't know if the 49ers have those same tiers that I do, but that's the way I look at it. And then 31 just makes so much more sense that would be the pick that you would try to trade out of. But probably get fewer offers for that because, again, people wouldn't want to be getting into that tier as much as they might be at 13. Oh, and then, by the way, Mike wants to trade out again from 31, get another third rounder, and take wide receiver Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State 10 picks later. I mean, that's a fine plan. I like Ayuk, Andrew Thomas and Ayuk and two third rounders better than what you would get at 13 and 31 if you stuck. I don't know. It's a good question. I think the value-wise at 31 probably wouldn't be that much. I've seen mocks recently that have Ayuk in the first round. It's also hard to say. Here's the other thing. If you trade down too far into the second round, even with a deep wide receiver class, again, you're letting the league decide who you get rather than you deciding who you want. So maybe you trade down and you really want this dynamic speed, but those guys go. And so you're left with Bryan Edwards or whatever, who's a really good prospect, who I like a lot. And if the 49ers did get an extra third, maybe that would be the pick for me. But maybe that's not exactly what you want. And you're letting the league decide which player you get rather than you getting to decide the players you want. So you have to get value for it. If you move down from 31, get an extra pick in the top 100, that makes sense. But I've seen a lot of trades where people are like, oh, you know, you move down one spot here and you add a fourth, and you move down here and you add another fourth or a fifth. It's like, dude, the 49ers have five picks between rounds 5 and 7. They don't need any more of those type of picks. If you're adding a top 100 pick, okay. If you're not adding something great and you think you might be losing out on a player, it's really, really not worth it. So I'm looking to add top 100 picks, round 2s, round 3s. I'm not trying to add round 4s and round 5s. More Locked On 49ers mailbag coming up. Jared wants to know about Bryan Edwards, the receiver I just talked about from South Carolina. Bryan Edwards, yeah, he's 6'3", 215. He's sort of a power player. I like his movement skills at his size. He's not a burner, but he's probably a 4'5 guy. Didn't get a chance to work out. He's dealing with an injury, and I believe I just saw recently that he's expected to be completely cleared if teams go to normal training camp or whatever. So June, he'll be fine. He's not quite 100% cleared yet due to whatever injury he had. I think it was a foot injury that he was dealing with. But I like him a lot, and I think he's someone who's probably going to be there in round 3. I've seen him in some people have him ranked in the round 2 area. I think he's going to fall a little bit. Some of those guys who didn't get a chance to work out or are still hurt in a deeper wide receiver class could fall. So I like him if the 49ers are in that area and haven't drafted a wide receiver yet. But again, It's tough because the depth of this wide receiver class doesn't help the 49ers a lot because they have players that could be. Actually, there's another quote I didn't get to that John Lynch said about, what was was it? Oh, yeah. He called Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd, and Dante Pettis their redshirt class from last year. He said, obviously, his injuries with Hurd and Taylor, and they're hopeful that those three players can make an impact on this team. He said Dante Pettis was for other reasons, didn't really go into details on why Dante Pettis was so deep into Shanahan's doghouse, but he said he had hopes for those guys still. But man, you know, adding a third, fourth, fifth rounder, it'll be a lot harder to expect that they're going to make an early impact, and the 49ers just need that starting caliber guy right now. It's going to be hard. And look, you could still dip into this class, even if you draft a first-round wide receiver, take another guy in round five, you know, Isaiah Hodgins or something like that. Take another guy and continue to develop and have competition on your roster. But it's just hard as far as how the roster is constructed right now to imagine if you start waiting and trading down and then drafting a wide receiver in round three. I like Bryan Edwards, and he could make an instant impact. And there's a couple guys that you could see doing that. But just the further you go down, the less and less likely you're going to get a guy that you really like and then a guy that could make an earlier impact on the 49ers and be a starting caliber player for you early in their career or maybe at all. Let's go to A.A. Ron, who asked the question, will the Niners continue to focus on drafting athletic, high-character players with some dog in them, or may they take chances on the Pettis and Witherspoon type players where they think they can coach the toughness into them? No, I think they've learned from their mistakes. And I think it was really last draft season where we heard so many reports from prospects said that the toughest team on them in interviews was the 49ers. I think the 49ers, and I think that's where I give John Lynch the most credit. And when he was hired, he said, we know what we don't know. And there's been a learning curve, and they whiffed on their first two first-round picks, but have nailed both first-round picks since then. And I think the 49ers have learned some things, and I think they want players that are self-motivated. I think that's something that they clearly tapped into last offseason and will continue to look at going forward. And you can be athletic, but they don't want soft players, and they're probably going to stay away from red flag players, guys that quit on their teams, guys that have gotten in trouble in the past. You know, they made a lot of mistakes in year one and year two in the draft, and I think they learned from that. So I absolutely think they're going to continue to draft, and they like fast players. So almost everybody at every position they draft is probably going to have some speed, and they're going to be tough and a lot of high character guys. I think that's absolutely the way they will continue to do things going forward. That's going to be the MO, and that's what they learned that, and it's probably what every look, they're a young group. First time head coach, first time GM. They're gonna learn some lessons that older GMs already know. And that's why you always hear, oh, red flags, character problems, and then all of a sudden that guy's still available in the seventh round. You're like, wow, how's that player still there? How'd that player go undrafted? Because teams just completely take him off their draft board. You're like, nope, not drafting that guy, period. I don't care how good of a deal it is. So I think the 49ers might be one of those teams that are really gonna continue to lean on that character. But fast guys, high character, tough players, that's what the 49ers are looking for. It's what they drafted a lot of last year. And you look at all the good players they've had success with that they've hit on in the draft, and they've hit on all those things. To Tyler, he says, who do you feel is a higher priority to find an eventual replacement for in this draft, Staley or Sherman? So let's say, and this maybe should be the working plan, Staley, Sherman, they're still playing on a high level. They're fine. They're going to start this year, but they're going to be gone. Like, this is the last year for them. So we need to develop a starter at some point in the future at corner and at offensive tackle. What should be a higher priority? I think a higher priority would probably be, I mean, it kind of depends. Here's the thing is, so you have an entire offseason next year, draft and free agency to replace one of those two. So it kind of depends on who's the higher ranked player. Draft the best player now. Then you know next offseason you have that first round pick that's probably, you know, hopefully for the 49ers, it's late in round one. You can try to draft a corner there, or you could draft an offensive tackle, depending on what you did this year developmental wise. I think we've seen the 49ers lean toward the offensive line, or specifically offensive tackle so far versus corner. They haven't really drafted corners high. I think you want to keep the run game going. You want to keep your quarterback clean. I think they still need depth this year on the offensive line. So if I had to guess, and yeah, let's say you have a corner, CJ Henderson, and you have Tristan Wirfs, and they have the exact same grade on your board, I think I would lean Wirfs over Henderson in this draft for the 49ers, because that gives you an upgraded guard now. gives you depth on the offensive line. And then right now, the 49ers don't have as much room for a corner as they do an offensive lineman, I think, even depth-wise. Like, the 49ers have the same group coming back that they had last year as their entire starting secondary. And they've got some backups as well. So you could draft that corner later and feel better about it and maybe get lucky and develop yourself a starting cornerback in round three versus doing that with an offensive tackle. It's just a lot more difficult to find a starting offensive tackle, I think, in round three. But if it turns out that the best guy is a corner, I could see him go that way. So it depends really on how the board falls, I think, with those two positions, because those are very important positions to your football team, both offensive tackle and cornerback. And then obviously gauging whether you think one of those players might last a little bit longer than the other, which Sherman's a lot younger than Staley. So maybe Sherman's got 2-3 more years in him, where Staley's only got one. Where are we at? We're out of time here. Let me hit one more really quick. This one from Ryan. He says, I've been reading from several places that Judy is the clear choice. Do you think he's so much clear choice that it's worth trying to trade up with the Browns, or is that a waste because the gap between the top wide receivers isn't that big? Yeah, I think it would definitely be a waste to trade up because it'd be very costly. If I'm the Browns and the 49ers come calling, I'm saying, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll take 31 and 13, right? Like, what else are you going to ask for? Niners don't have a second round pick. Do the Browns care that much about a future second? What would be the cost there? A third? Like, I don't know what the 49ers would pay the Browns to move up. And I think I'd be fine with Lamb. I'd be fine with Ruggs. I think the 49ers, who knows who they have first, they might like Ruggs the most anyway. I mean, I like Judy a little bit more, but it's not a huge gap at all. I've heard some people say they love Judy. A lot of people have Lamb first, and some people have Ruggs first. So, yeah, I just don't think it'd be worth trading up at all. And it didn't sound like, although John Lynch isn't going to tell us what he's trying to do if he was trying to work out a trade up behind the scenes, but it didn't sound like that was the direction they were planning on going at all. Okay, thanks everybody for getting those questions in. We'll hit some more with Nick tomorrow. Don't know what we're doing Thursday. Probably big board reveal Thursday morning on draft day. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.